I was listening a little bit to talk radio, a little bit sports talk, and even I heard about this guy. Cleveland was excited. People were saying, we finally have a quarterback who can take us to the Super Bowl. We finally have a guy who can lead us to victory. I remember taking the bus down. I don't know why my microphone is clicking like that, but we'll keep moving on. I remember taking the church bus down to get it inspected. And the inspector, he was so excited about the Browns. Hey, man, how about those Browns? I was like, yeah, how about them Browns? Yeah. He goes, yeah, that Johnny Manziel, he could be the one. He could lead us to victory. There was so much hope. There was so much excitement in Cleveland. Well, you guys know the rest of the story, right? He didn't do so hot. He didn't even last two seasons. Johnny Manziel was a little bit of a partier. Johnny liked to party a little too hardy. Johnny Manziel liked the alcohol. And he had a run-in with the law. And after about a season and a half, they were like, oh, we're done with you. And they let him go. Well, Johnny Manziel's story is very similar to the man that we're going to think about tonight. Pastor has been in a study called The Associates of Paul. And just like Johnny Manziel, the man that we're going to consider tonight started strong, but finished wrong. That describes the man that we're going to think about tonight. He's a man by the name of Demas. Now, Demas doesn't appear very often in Scripture. In fact, there's only three verses that you see his name mentioned. But we can learn a lot from just those three verses about how Demas started strong, but he finished wrong. So I had you guys turn to Colossians chapter 4, because in Colossians chapter 4, that's the first time we see the name of Demas mentioned. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 14. Paul is closing his letter down. This is the end of his letter. He's wrapping things up. And as he wraps things up, he says this: Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Now, there's a few things for you to think about as you consider the context of this verse. Colossians is what's called a prison epistle. Paul was writing this from prison, from jail. And as he is writing from the jail, he closes his letter out, and he talks about who was there with him, helping him. Two men, Luke and Demas. Now, when you think about prison in the ancient times, don't think about the prison of today. It's very different. See, in today's day and age, if you go to jail, there are some modern conveniences that you will receive. Now, I'm not saying jail is great and you should go there, but at least we're a little more humane today. You get three hots and a cot, right? You get three meals a day. You get a bed, you get a cell, you get shelter. But in those days, they didn't give you food. If you were imprisoned, it was up to your family, up to your friends, up to your associates to bring you food, to bring you clothing, the things that you might need. And that's why as you read the prison epistles, you'll see Paul is asking for his associates to bring him certain things that he might need. And what we learn from that is here, as Paul is in prison, there are some men who are there helping him, ministering to his needs, bringing him his daily necessities, things like food and clothing, and maybe even medicine. And these men were Luke, who you are familiar with, and then another man named Demas. So this helps us understand something about Demas. He's not someone who is way out on the periphery. He was there working alongside Paul, helping Paul, and serving Paul. Demas was a very close companion of Paul. Now, there's a second passage that mentions the name of Demas, and that's found in Philemon. So just flip over a few pages, a few books. You might find Hebrews. That's a big book, and Philemon is right before the book of Hebrews. And in Philemon, again, Paul is writing from prison. This, again, is another prison epistle. And as he closes out his letter, he mentions the name of Demas again. So in Philemon chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says this, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you. As do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers." So Demas is mentioned among other associates of Paul that even Pastor has been speaking about. John Mark, a very close companion of Paul. Luke, obviously, who you know traveled alongside Paul on several of his missionary journeys, served alongside him, and wrote the book of Acts. So here Demas is, mentioned alongside these close companions of Paul, and Paul calls him a fellow laborer. This is a title that Paul reserved for his closest associates, people like Epaphras and Mark and Aristarchus and Luke. But in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul mentions Timothy as a fellow laborer. He calls Timothy his fellow laborer. So we learn from this passage that, again, Demas was a close companion of Paul. He served faithfully alongside Paul. This wasn't, again, someone out on the edge. He was right there with Paul, serving with him, helping him, running errands for him, ministering to his needs, hearing Paul speak and preach, maybe even reading the letters that he wrote to the churches. But the third and final passage that we find Demas' name is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So flip back a page or two to the book of 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we see something change in the life of Demas. Up until this point, he's right there next to Paul, serving alongside him. But something changes drastically. And that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Now, Paul, again, is writing this letter from prison, and he writes to Timothy, and he says to Timothy, "Be diligent, Timothy, to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." Many believe that this is the last letter that Paul wrote in his ministry. Not soon after this, Paul would be marched off to the execution block, and he would be executed by the Roman government. Here he is in his last days, and his friend, his associate, his companion, his fellow laborer had deserted Paul. Imagine the things that Demas witnessed. Many of you are familiar with Paul's writings. Many of you have studied the life of Paul and know the amazing things that accompanied Paul in his ministry. It's possible that Demas actually witnessed Paul perform miracles. The book of Acts records those kinds of things that Paul did through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And it's possible that Demas may have even witnessed Paul perform miracles. It's most likely that Demas heard Paul preach. It's very likely that he sat at the feet of Paul and heard him teach. I'm amazed at the life of Paul. I've studied the book of Romans in great detail in college, in seminary, personally, and I am just amazed at his mind, his intellect, the way that he weaves themes together, and I have learned so much just by reading his letters. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be able to sit at the feet of Paul and to hear him teach, to hear him preach. Those are the privileges that Demas had, and yet, this passage says, he deserted Paul. He started strong, but he finished wrong. And the passage tells us why. It tells us it was because he loved this present world. And Paul says in verse 10 that he departed for Thessalonica. Now some of you might wonder, why Thessalonica? Why did he decide to go there? Well, there's a lot in history written about this town, Thessalonica. The Greek historian Strabo said this about the city. He said it was the most populous town in Macedonia and the metropolis of the province. When Demas went there, he wasn't going to some small podunk town. He went to the big city. Thessalonica was situated and located on a seaport. So a lot of goods, a lot of people were coming in from the seaport. There was a great marketplace there. It was located on a main highway to Rome called the Ignatian Way. Many of you have heard that from history class. This highway went from Rome to the Orient. It was a major pit stop along that highway. In fact, some historians say that the population of Thessalonica was 200,000 people. That's about the size of Salt Lake City, Utah. It was no small city. Demas went to Thessalonica because that's where the world was. Because Paul says he loved this present world. How could this happen? Why did this happen? It's because Demas had an inappropriate relationship with the world. Demas loved this present world. When it comes to our relationship to the world, it's complicated. As believers, we have a complicated relationship with the world. Some of you guys are on Facebook. I'm old enough to remember when there was no Facebook. And I'm old enough to remember when people started, they would announce very special things about their relationships on Facebook. Not so much anymore, a little bit here and there. Facebook's kind of fallen by the wayside when it comes to youth culture, but many people still have Facebook, myself included, and you know about the relationship status, I'm sure, if you have a Facebook account. So the relationship status is you let people know, oh, I'm in a relationship now, and that used to be kind of a big deal. Oh, this guy's in a relationship. Oh, that girl's in a relationship. That's cool. They're going public. Or it might be, they might say, I got engaged. Or they may say, this person got married. Back in the day, Facebook actually changed their relationship status and they added something called, it's complicated. Did you know that? People would actually put for their relationship status, it's complicated. When it comes to our relationship status with the world, it's complicated. What do I mean by that? I mean that there are a lot of verses and it can be confusing concerning the world. The Bible says that we are not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 1. James says, true religion is this, for a man to visit orphans and widows and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. But Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But Romans 12 says, even though we are to go in the world, Romans 12 says we are not to be conformed to the world. I think the most helpful passage that explains our relationship with the world is found in John chapter 17. So I'm going to ask you to turn to John chapter 17. And we're going to look at a passage that explains this. John chapter 17, starting in verse 15. This is what's called the high priestly prayer. This is where Jesus is praying to the Father before he is arrested and taken off to be crucified. So we learn a lot about what Jesus wanted for his disciples. And in this section that we're going to read, Jesus is praying specifically for his disciples. And he says in John chapter 17, verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, speaking of disciples, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. In this passage, Jesus tells us we are to be in the world, but not of the world. There are three ways that we can relate to the world. If you're taking notes, I'd ask you to just draw a straight line across your page. Is my mic still working?
Am I good?
I'll just stay over here. If you're if you're writing or if you're drawing that line across the page, on your left, which would be my right, I want you to put the words infiltrated by the world. Infiltrated by the world. This is a person who is in the world and of the world. That's different from what Jesus said, right? He said he wants us to be in the world, but not of the world. But a person who has been infiltrated by the world is a person who is in the world, and they are of the world. This describes Demas. Demas, over time, had allowed the world to infiltrate his heart. A person who has been infiltrated by the world is a person who loves the values of the world. A person who has the same goals of the world. A person who accepts the philosophy and the teaching of the world. That describes Demas. And honestly, as a youth pastor, I have seen teens, parents, and some families go this route. They've gone to this extreme. The extreme of being infiltrated by the world. It doesn't happen overnight, but slowly, as time goes by, they drift further and further away from the truth. It's a slow process. It's a slow fade. But eventually, you will see this kind of person who has accepted belief after belief after belief of the world and philosophy of the world and goals and desires of the world. Over time, you will see them having been infiltrated by the world, and just like Demas, become a deserter. Probably the most recent example that I can think of is a man by the name of Joshua Harris. Many of you have heard of him. Some of you have probably read some of his books. I personally have learned a lot from Joshua Harris over the years. I wasn't a fan of his first book, but the books that he has written since the turn of the century, I've used personally in youth ministry. I remember showing videos of Joshua Harris with some of my teens. He knew his Bible. He was sound. And yet, just this last summer, he said this on Twitter: "By all the measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian." He became a deserter. Later on, he also publicized that he was apologizing for his stance on homosexuality. He apologized to the LGBTQ community for the teaching that he had taught in the past concerning homosexuality. Eventually, over time, he had begun to accept the philosophy of this world, and he became infiltrated by the world. I'm sure you all know that is not what God wants for us. He does not want us to love the desires, the goals, the values, the philosophy of this world. He does not want us to accept it. He does not want us to embrace it. We are not to be in the world and of the world. But what happens is some people will be afraid of doing that, and so they'll swing to the other extreme. And so if you're taking notes, over here you're going to put infiltrated by the world. Over here, on this side of the line, put the words isolated from the world. We know that we are not to love the world. We know that we're supposed to remain unspotted from the world, but many of us, in fear, we overreact, we run away from the world, and we become isolated from the world. This is a person who is not in the world and not of the world. In a measure to avoid the extreme of Demas, they go to the other extreme. In Jesus' day, there was a group, a sect of people called the Essenes. E-S-S-E-N-E-S, Essenes. And they had segregated themselves from the world. Some of you might have read about them in your history books. The Essenes, a lot like the Amish, had moved away from society, moved out on the fringe, to form their own communities. They didn't have dealings with the world, per se. A lot like the Catholics, like Catholic nuns or monks going off into a convent, living amongst themselves. Why? Because they don't want to be spotted by the world. They don't want to be stained by the world. They don't want to be infected by the world. So they run to the other extreme. Of course, today you see the Amish do stuff like that. There are many points on the spectrum, if you will, that someone could fall. You could become way out there like an Amish person. Or you could become like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, for all intents and purposes, they were isolated from the world. While they lived in Jerusalem or lived amongst society, they had taken measures to segregate themselves, to block off the world. They said things to Jesus like, "Do you know what manner of woman is touching you right now?" That speaks a lot, right? That tells you that they would not rub shoulders with a worldly person like that. Or they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with publicans and sinners?" They had isolated themselves from the world. They had segregated themselves from the world. And my fear is that there are many in churches today who have gone to that extreme. They know they are not to be of the world. And so they have removed themselves from the world as much as is humanly possible. Did you know that it's possible in America today, if you're born into a Christian family, to be totally isolated from the world? You could be born into a Christian family, spend all your time at church, all your extracurricular activities happen at church. You go to a Christian school or a home school for elementary, for junior high, for high school. Graduating from that, you can go to a Christian college, all the while only doing extracurricular activities with only believing people. After you graduate from college, you can get a career in a Christian organization, only rubbing shoulders with believers, only ever doing extracurricular activities with believers. And then after you retire, you can go to a Christian retirement community. Did you know that? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you are homeschooling your kids, or if you are involved in Christian education, or if you are working in a Christian organization, that you have totally isolated yourself from the world. But I am saying there's a danger there. You need to be very intentional about making sure you are in the world. This is one of the reasons why I'm on board with Upward. Why I worked alongside Pastor John to make that happen here at First Baptist Church of Elyria. Why I work every summer in making sure we're doing that. Because early on in my time here, when we would have outreach activities, I would say, "Hey, teens, invite your unsafe friends." They would say things like, "I don't have any unsafe friends." I even heard a teen say, "I don't even know an unsaved person." That's a problem. That means that we are not in the world. While we are not of the world, which is great, we are also not in the world. This is one of the reasons why I love our after-school program at Franklin Elementary. I see our teens getting involved with young people who don't know the Lord. This is why I love Trunk or Treat. We need to be, as a church, in the world. Jesus told us to. And if we have isolated ourselves from the world, we are being un-Christ-like. We are being unbiblical. So don't go to these two extremes. Don't be infiltrated by the world. Don't be isolated from the world. In the middle, if you're doing notes, in the middle write, insulated in the world. That is what Christ desired for his disciples. He says in John chapter 17, verse 15, "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world." Don't remove them from the world, Jesus says. Verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." That's why Romans chapter 12 says, don't be conformed to the world. We should be in the world, but don't be conformed to the world. That's why Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, go into the world. You should be in the world, but not of the world. A great illustration of this occurred a few years ago. Many of you remember the news about the Ebola epidemic. I remember watching the news and seeing medical professionals going in to help people who had the Ebola virus. Do you remember seeing those pictures? What were they wearing? They were wearing hazmat suits, practically. From head to toe, they were covered in plastic, protecting them from the disease. But they were not willing to allow these people to suffer and die. They wanted to be there to care for them. They wanted to step in. That is what God is calling all of us to do. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the Essenes thinking, oh, the world's going to contaminate me. And totally segregating yourself from the world. Understand that there is sin, but you need to be in the world. And you need to be insulated while you're in the world. This is exemplified by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. He rubbed shoulders with sinful people. Remember how the Pharisees says, they say, if this man knew what manner of woman this was, he would not allow her to touch him. She was a prostitute. And yet Jesus interacted with her. Remember, he went to the woman at the well. This woman who had all kinds of men in her history. She had shacked up with all kinds of men. He spoke to her. He drank water with her. He did this all the while remaining pure and holy. That is what God is calling every Christian to do. He's calling all of us to be in the world. But remember, don't be like Demas. Don't be of the world. So you might ask, how do I do that? Very quickly, John chapter 17, verse 17. In this prayer, he says, I don't want you to take them out of the world, God. But verse 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Romans chapter 12. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you remain pure? How do you remain insulated while you're in the world, interacting with sinful people, rubbing shoulders with sinners? How do you remain pure? Sanctify yourself through the word of God. That's how you do it. That is what God is calling us to do. And so, as we wrap things up, I want to ask you this. Where are you on the spectrum? Do you see yourself drifting away like Demas? Are you becoming infiltrated by the world? Do you see yourself coming to this extreme? Not wanting to become like the world, but segregating yourself, isolating yourself from the world. God is calling all of us to be in the world, but not of the world. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we know this is a complicated thing. And so we pray for strength. We pray for wisdom. We don't want to be like Demas, but we also don't want to be like the Essenes and the Pharisees. Help us to be like you. May we be in the world, but all the while remaining not of the world. We ask for your strength in this tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.